CSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, The Hill. Gordon, the conflict over Taiwan is decades old. Is there, these days, something new that heightens tension, or is this business as usual with a new administration?
John, I think it's more or less business as usual. We know that China always tests a new administration one way or another. So the tension over the last three, 4 months, I think, is really an indication of that. It's more just what's happened in Washington and Beijing trying to find out what's going on.
We welcome Scott Harold, our colleague. He's a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation, to comment on what has, until recently, been a series of what appears to be military provocations, flights over the air identification zone outside of Taiwan, warships sailing, both U.S. and PLA Navy warships, and sharp words from Beijing, especially following the Anchorage conversation between Foreign Ministry and the State Department. Scott, a very good evening to you. How do you measure the present talk about Taiwan in Beijing? Is this, are they breaking new ground, or are they going over the old script? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Gordon. Now, I think you are seeing from Beijing a lot of continuity, but it's of a piece with recent efforts to intensify the pressure that Beijing has put on Taiwan, especially over the last 5 years, since 2016, when President Tsai Ing-wen was elected. Gordon is correct, you noted, John, there has been a lot more military activity around Taiwan intended to put pressure on Taiwan, and that's intended to complement China's efforts to isolate Taiwan internationally, sever its diplomatic ties, put pressure on Taiwan economically, attempt to infiltrate Taiwan and involve itself in Taiwan politically, as well as through disinformation campaigns, and to weaponize foreign law enforcement and foreign corporations, charging people with crimes in third countries and having them sent back to China instead of to Taiwan, and trying to get American and other companies to delist Taiwan as an actual place and render it instead as a Republic of China province. So I think collectively all of these are part of a long-standing effort, and Gordon is correct to say that there has been an uptick in pressure from Beijing, but it does not necessarily mean that we're looking at an imminent conflict in the Taiwan Strait.
Gordon, if there is a test, does it last long, a new administration? Does it last the first 100 days, the first 1,000 days? Do we have a measure of how long these, what you'd have to say, taunts can continue?
Well, the tests can actually go on for some time. So, for instance, in the early Obama months, February, March, April, May, there were a number of incidents involving unarmed U.S. Navy reconnaissance vessels in China's peripheral waters. With the previous Bush administration, it was just a one-day event, which turned into a two-week incident. In the Trump administration, the test could very well have been in December 2016, in the last couple months of the Obama term. But clearly, I think what they were trying to do with an incident in the South China Sea in taking a U.S. Navy drone was to see how then-President-elect Trump would act. So it really depends on the time of and the president.
You have a question for Scott, Gordon.
Scott, President Biden's Asia czar, Kurt Campbell, in comments a couple days ago, said that the administration was going to stick with the policy of strategic ambiguity, which is a policy where we do not tell either Beijing or Taipei what the U.S. would do in the case of imminent conflict. There's been a lot of chatter about changing that policy. What do you think about Campbell's comments and how it has affected Beijing?
I think one of the questions that's out there, Gordon, as you know very well, is whether or not the United States is making a covert or clandestine push to try to chip away at, in measured steps, the last vestiges of what China refers to as the One China Principle. And one of the things that it's good for U.S. officials to do is to try to reassure Beijing so that it has no casus belli, no excuse to take action against Taiwan. On the other hand, I think it's fair to say that the United States has a pretty substantial degree of strategic clarity when it comes to Taiwan, that being as in all U.S. Policy documents that touch on Taiwan made clear, the United States is not interested in and will not tolerate the use of force to resolve the question of Taiwan's status. The United States has shown that it is consistently, across bipartisan lines, committed to the security of Taiwan. That itself is a form of strategic clarity. And as you noted, Indo-Pacific security czar Dr. Campbell's remarks in some sense pair with that as a form of tactical ambiguity. It is quite clear the United States has repeatedly committed itself to Taiwan's security, pushing back against Beijing in the military realm in 1954, again in 1958, and in the mid-1990s when China launched military exercises just north and south of Taiwan meant to intimidate the voters of Taiwan. The Congress has, of course, also been integral to this, passing the Taiwan Relations Act, which President Biden signed when he was Senator Biden in 1979, and more recently passing the Taipei Act, which promotes Taiwan's international diplomatic recognition, and the Taiwan Travel Act, which loosens restrictions on U.S. officials and encourages the administration to send high-profile officials to Taiwan and welcome them from Taiwan here. So, again, I would say we have strategic clarity that China cannot use force to resolve the Taiwan question, and a bit of tactical ambiguity about how exactly we will respond. But as Secretary Blinken and State Department spokesman Ned Price have said, our commitment to Taiwan is rock solid.
History suggests, Scott, as you know, that predators' words have meaning. Pay attention. Has Xi Jinping, president for life until there's his successor, has he made remarks that he can't walk back about reacquiring Taiwan while he is president and leader of the Communist Party? Has he gone too far to allow this to just dissolve into that was then?
I don't think he's gone too far recently, John. I mean, in some sense, the Chinese Communist Party has always gone too far by suggesting that it has the right to determine the fate and future of the people of Taiwan and the island of Taiwan without those people's consent. In another sense, though, Xi Jinping went too far in early 2019, and in so doing, he really spurred the comeback for a second term in office of President Tsai Ing-wen, who responded quite forcefully to Xi's comments that the great China dream of national rejuvenation would eventually have to incorporate Taiwan and that this question could not be put off forever. I think that really helped mobilize public opinion behind President Tsai, who pushed back very calmly, but very forcefully and firmly. We've seen now, more than 2 years since that time. I think Xi Jinping has, as you said, John, given us a tip of the hat as to where he would like to go. And they seem to be proceeding there with fairly robust commitment of resources, but not such a degree of urgency that Xi Jinping has, I think, lost control of this or painted himself so into a corner that he has to use force imminently.
Gordon, you have another question for Scott.
Scott, do comments from Beijing actually affect the issue, which I think is critical, which is Taiwan's self-identity? We have seen Taiwan's self-identity increase substantially over the last 5 years or so. But is this because of just developments on the island itself, or is this because of pressure from Beijing?
Gordon, I think it's in many ways you've put your finger on it. It's really not one or the other. It's all of the above. Certainly, the longer people whose families came recently, and I mean in the mid-20th century, from China to Taiwan, the more time passes, the more their offspring and their offspring who have only known living in Taiwan simply come to identify as Taiwanese. The way, my own ancestors coming from Europe do not lead me to feel like I'm a European, I'm an American. And I'm sure you and others on the call, John, too, would feel the same. And I think that phenomenon is the portion of that you're talking about with what's happening inside Taiwan. That's what with China's doing, both what it says and, more importantly, in some ways, what it does when it commits genocide in Xinjiang and violates its word in Hong Kong and represses people there, really has put the lie to and undercut Beijing's preferred formula of a one-country, two-systems approach where Taiwan, if it were to choose to reunify or unify with China, would be able to trust that it could preserve its basic way of life. I think there is no appeal for that now, and that's in large part because China continues to threaten and humiliate Taiwan. But of course, also it's because the Chinese Communist Party has shown that its word is essentially a lie every time it makes a promise and violates it. And so I think it's really the interaction of factors inside Taiwan as well as those across the strait that have so undercut Beijing's appeal.
Scott Harold is a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.